If you've been around the last 3 weeks, we've been going through this topic of, sorry, Marty, but I just started the sermon. We have been going through the topics of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Like, if you are a true follower of Jesus, you will soon learn that there are qualities, that there are characteristics that will define you, that will identify you as one. You know, perhaps in our society, we have a tough time identifying Christians. You know, everybody today call themselves a Christian, and sometimes you have no idea really what a true Christian is. In the Bible, there's no, really, it's so easy to identify what a follower of Jesus is from somebody else that follows somebody else. So it's really easy to identify in the Bible what the true followers of Jesus are, because there are marks, there are characteristics, qualities that would identify those people as such. And you and I need to go through Scripture to find out what those qualities are. Those who are truly disciples of Jesus. Remember, I've been talking to you and really being on my heart, this idea of Francis Chan, that he said that there's a lot of people that truly, truly believe in their hearts that they are followers of Jesus, and yet their lives look nothing like his. And to me, that says a lot. And I think when you go through Scripture, we've got to find out what those identifying marks are that would define what a true Christian is. Because today, everybody call themselves Christians, and we kind of lost the true meaning of what a Christian is. Now, if you were to go through Scripture to find out those identifying marks, a Christian will be somebody who strives to work, a true follower of Jesus, somebody who strives to work on the relationship with God. And we saw that last week when Jesus said, I'm the shepherd, you are the sheep. The shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. So this knowing one another, this relationship, so a true follower of Jesus, you see through the Bible, is somebody who strives to develop that relationship with the Lord. Another thing that you find in the Scripture is they're the ones that love each other. Jesus even said in John 13, by this all people will know that you are truly my disciples, when you love one another. So what does a disciple of Jesus look like? You have this love for other people. And not just other people. When he said those words, he's talking about loving for your brothers in Christ. Now I understand and I know what you're thinking. Perhaps you might love some people that perhaps you don't like very much. But Jesus still says, people will know, they will know you're truly my disciples when you have this love for one another. Now, a true follower of Jesus, that's what you see. The disciples got into arguments all the time, but still they love one another. You're not going to get into arguments, and I'm going to hurt your feelings a couple of times. I don't care if that happens, but you got to love me, and I'm going to love you back. I mean, even how we resolve conflict, there got to be a difference from the followers of Christ with how the world resolve conflicts. So Jesus said, what a true disciple of Jesus looks like, somebody who loves Jesus by keeping his commands. Jesus said it in John, and I'm so glad that we're going through the Gospel of John on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, because we're gonna encounter all those things we're talking about. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So take that phrase from us. So if you don't love Jesus, that means you don't follow his teachings. So a true follower of Jesus, show Jesus that they love Jesus by keeping his commands, keeping his teaching. Other marks that I find about what a true follower of Jesus is they have this devotion for the Word of God. Acts 2:42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So, true follower of Jesus, whether in the first century, 21st century America, here in Staten Island, you got to show this devotion you have for the Word of God, for his teaching. That's one of the marks. These are one of the marks that identify a true follower of Jesus. This devotion for the Word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now, to being together, to this companionship that we have. Devotion to the fellowship. Also, they had this devotion to prayer. Like DJ say, I mean, when was the last time we really prayed? And I'm not talking about when you probably had a need. I mean, praying, just talking to God, because I'm developing my connection with him. I'm not just going to talk to you when I need something. I'm going to go, hey, how you doing? Thank you, Lord, for being so good to me. So, identifying marks of followers, I'm just giving you a few. That's based on some of the sermons that I preached before. Like, there's so many other in the Bible talk about what a true follower of Jesus looks like. people that would do some of those things. And I want to show you another one today. In John chapter 15, Jesus was a master in terms of like using illustrations. And, you know, we call those things parables. And a parable really is an earthly story that has a deeper meaning, that has a spiritual meaning. And Jesus talks about, remember, last week we talked about this idea of the shepherd and the sheep. Now Jesus is going to talk about agriculture. He's going to use the analogy of a vine and the branches to communicate to us his relationship that we are to have with him. So John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we're going to find some marks here of what a true follower of Jesus looks like. John 15. This is Jesus talking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself, check this out, showing yourself to be my disciples. There's another mark right there of what a true disciple of Jesus looks like. John 15. So right there from the get-go, you and I can understand that a true follower of Jesus abide in Jesus. A true follower of Jesus remains in Jesus. That's the word. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. The ESV will say, abide in me. That's the word. Stay with me. Stay in me, and I will stay with you. So true follower of Jesus will abide in him. Jesus, I mean, why should you and I abide in Jesus? I mean, he talks about this fruit that we are to produce. Followers of Jesus are to produce fruit. Followers of Jesus are to bear fruit. And the only way that we can bear fruit is by abiding, be attached to the vine. I mean, you know that if you just cut out a vine, a piece of the branch from the main vine, it looks alive for a while, but eventually it's going to wither and die. Jesus said, you got to remain in me. If I'm the vine, you're the branches, you got to be attached to me. Don't get detached. You got to stay with me in order for you to be fruitful. He says, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. A true follower of Jesus is to abide in Jesus in order for that person to be fruitful, to produce fruit that he's calling us to do. Now, it's interesting because there are like two type of branches right there. There's one that's fruitful. There's one that they're cut off because they're not bearing or producing any fruit. And he says that the Father in this story is the gardener. He's the one that prunes the ones that are fruitful. And the ones that are not producing any fruit, he just cut off and throw into the fire. Jesus said, you're already clean because the word that I have spoken to you, but you must remain in me, he says. True followers of Jesus abiding him and his word. Check out what verse 5 he says. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you, he said. Now, in the text, those who don't remain in Jesus cannot produce any fruit. So when you go around, you see people that are fruitless as Christians. It's because you are detached from the main vine. Because the text is really indicating to us that the moment that you are attached to the vine, that's Jesus, you will produce, you will bear fruit. If you're not producing any fruit as a follower of Jesus, that's telling me, and that's the text is telling us, it's because you are detached from him. Because apparently just the moment, the fact that you're attached to him, there's something should happen. And that's fruit. He said, no branch can bear fruit by itself. So how are you going to bear fruit when you're not attached to Jesus, the main source? And you know, sometimes you hear people, you know, it's like they, perhaps, you know, they think they can follow Jesus whichever way they want. And Jesus already told us how he expects us to follow him. You must remain in me, he says, and my words will remain in you. Apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. That's true. There's not much you and I can do. You know, and one of the things you and I will never be able to do is produce fruit that will be honoring to God, because that only comes by us being attached to Jesus, abiding in him. If you abide in me and my word, abide in you, he says, you can ask anything and I will give it to you. It's interesting. God uses his word to prune us so we can produce more fruit. The word of God has a lot of imagery. Jeremiah calls it a hammer. Paul calls it a sword. And the Father used that to prune. I mean, sometimes when you read the word of God, it convicts you, and God's doing pruning in us. We all need pruning at one time in order for us to produce fruit. And we might not like that very much, but that's what God does through his word, convicting us, guiding us, help shaping us more to be like the people that he asks us and expects us to become. If you abide in me and my word abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth. In John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, if you abide in me in my word, you are truly my disciples. So a true disciple of Jesus abide in his teaching, in his word. I mean, sometimes you see in our society, a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they have trouble with some of the things that Jesus said. I mean, already, it's a red flag. It's like, really, you call yourself a disciple of Jesus, but you don't do what he asking you. And Jesus already said that you are truly my disciples, you abide in my teaching. So which one is it? A true disciple of Jesus abiding what he says. You don't contradict what he says. You don't distort what he says. You just do what he said. That's what one of the marks of true disciples. Abiding me in my words. And he told the religious leaders, he says, the Jews who have believed in him, he said, if you abide in my word, you keep yourself in my word, if you stay with me in my word, then you are truly my disciples. But if you don't do it, don't call yourself a disciple or a follower of me. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That was the context when Jesus spoke those words to the Jews that claimed to have believed in Jesus. Now, it's interesting. John 15:7, there's a promise right there that Jesus laid out to those, to his followers. I had a little trouble when I had to reread this many times. And then it's really in the context of prayer, because look what he says, verse 15. I mean, excuse me, verse 7. He says, if, there's a lot of if condition, there's a condition right now. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. And this is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit. If you remain in my words, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want. So you know what I was thinking when I was reading that? So many times we wonder why our prayers are not answered. And maybe one of those reasons is that we haven't been remaining in him. We have not remained in his word. Why should he answer our prayers when we're not even developing our connection? I mean, have you ever thought about that for a moment? Look at what it says. Let me just read it again for you. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. I want to do whatever you wish, but first you have to remain in me and my words. You know, sometimes we might remain in Jesus, but maybe we're not remaining in his word a lot. Even us preachers sometimes, you know, it's like, maybe I wasn't really abiding in his teaching. So I'm praying, and I wonder why my prayers are not answered. Now, when it comes to prayer, there's a lot of things in prayer that will keep you from getting to the throne of God. Husband and wife, here's one. If you have issue with your wife or your husband and you had an argument, don't pray because God's not listening. He says that you need to take care of that first. You see, I'm just giving it to you, and I can show you the reference. It says, like Paul says, make sure that you treat that with respect because your prayers might be hindered. So our relationship as husband and wife, if we now not talking to each other because we hate our guts for a moment, don't even bother praying, because the Lord said you got to deal with that, and then you come to and pray to the Lord. On forgiving issues with other people, that will hinder your prayers. Wrong motives will not get your prayer answered either. You know, James says, you ask and you do not receive because you do not even know how to ask. And when you pray, you ask with wrong motives so that you can spend what, you know, God's not going to answer. He's not a genie we learned today in a bottle. So in here it says, you got to abide in me in my words, and then, you know, ask and I will be given to you. And even that, you know, Jesus taught us how to pray. Your will be done. But he expects us to abide, to remain, to stay with him. A true follower of Jesus stays with him despite whatever goes on in your life. A true follower of Jesus stays with his word and do not let anything change it or distort it because it might become offensive to you. A true follower of Jesus takes it just like it is. Now, true followers of Jesus bear fruit. That's what we're learning here. Bearing fruit is one of those identifying marks of a true follower of Jesus. But in order for us to bear fruit, we had to remain in him. Verse 8, God is exalted, God is glorified when his followers, when Jesus' followers bear fruit. Check it out. Verse 8 said, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself. Jesus said, by doing that, you're proving yourself to be my disciple. So the fact that you're bearing fruit, you're showing the world that you are truly a disciple of Jesus. Now, I've been talking about fruit, and you might want to know what kind of fruit it is that I'm talking about. I get to that point eventually. You bring glory to God. You see, our purpose in life is to always bring God unprecedented glory, because only he deserves. And by bearing fruit, by producing fruit as followers of Jesus, God is glorified. It reminds me of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds and bring glory to God the Father. Even by shining the light. So here the Father is glorified because, and Jesus said, by that you're showing yourself, all the translation will say, you're proving yourself to be truly my disciples because you are bearing fruit. Now you see this analogy, this bearing fruit theme runs through the New Testament. You see that a lot. This is not the only time. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the parable of the soil, and it's only one soil that produced a harvest, a crop. And he says, because it was the good soil, and persevere after he heard the word, and remain in Jesus, and he was able to produce a harvest. Matthew 13, 23, and Matthew 7, 13 through 19, Jesus is warning about false prophets, and he said to the teachers, he said to the audience, by this, you know them by their fruit that they produce. He said, watch out for false prophets. You will know them by their fruit. So sometimes people might be producing some bad fruit out there. False prophets were one of those. And then Jesus used that analogy that perhaps you're familiar. He says, you know the tree by the fruit that it produces. And that is in Matthew 7, 13 through 19, some of you who take notes. So this idea of bearing fruit. Then later on, John the Baptist, when he appears right before Jesus, this is right before Jesus has not even started preaching yet. This man named John the Baptist appears in the desert. And he's telling people, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then people were asking, what shall we do? And John the Baptist says, you got to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So what John is saying, you say that you repented, show me the fruit. Which makes sense. I mean, yeah, you say that you repented, but I don't see any fruit or repentance. You know, and they came to John. John the Baptist challenged the audience. And he says in Matthew 3:8, also Luke 3:8, the same parallel text. He says John challenged his audience to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So when you repent, people expect to see some changes. And those changes will be the fruit that you're producing. You know, he says, produce fruit in keeping with the repentance. Because people will come to John and say, hey, what shall we do? And John will say, pay your taxes to the government. If somebody doesn't have a tunic, give it to somebody and don't expect it back. You know, and at the beginning they were doing that, but pretty soon they stopped. And then John finally said, you gotta produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Are you really sorry for what you're doing? Show me your fruit. So as a true follower of Jesus, you might call yourself a follower of Christ, but the scripture is very clear. It says that we have to produce some kind of fruit to show, like Jesus said, to prove to the world that we're truly his disciples. And guess what? The world's already checking you out. And they're going to accuse you the moment that you perhaps say something that for them does not look or does not seem like a fruit. But the word was like, I thought you were a Christian. And because they even know that there's some kind of fruit that you and I are supposed to produce. Now, Paul, later on, he defines the type of fruit. I mean, many of us are familiar with that in Galatians 5:22. Two Christians bear fruit. Here's an example. Paul calls that when you're bearing fruit, you are walking, living by the Spirit. When you're not walking by the Spirit, you produce a different type of fruit. Paul calls that in Galatians 5:22, and he says that when you live by the Spirit, he says the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's almost like the Spirit will produce those fruit in you. I always laugh when people say, Lord, give me patience. If you're a Christian, the Bible says you have patience. The thing is, perhaps it has not developed yet. And what God will give you when you ask the Lord to give you patience, he will give you hard to deal people that are hard to deal with. So you have to start developing that fruit. You know what I'm talking about? Like, now your issues, like you go in the row, it's like now your patience is tested because God said, you need to produce. Are you ask for patience? I'm going to give you scenarios so that you have to utilize patience. So never ask God for patience. Because you have it, it just has not been developed, and he will use issues, circumstances, so that you eventually will produce that. Like to be goodness, faithfulness, kindness, joy, peace. You know how many times we go through trials and we might not feel at peace at that moment. And it's later on that God, Jesus, develops that in us. And then later on, that fruit becomes so good in you that it's like, you know what? I can have peace. Even when my house is falling apart or my world is falling apart, I can be at peace. And then the world will look at you and it's like, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, how can you be so cool? Because you were producing that fruit already. Called peace. Jesus said, the peace that I give you, the world does not even understand it. He says, because I give you my peace. And peace, according to the Webster, is the absence of war. Jesus' peace is to be cool, to be calm, even when you are at war. That's the biblical definition of the peace that Jesus will give us. So Paul gives us a list of fruit. Now, if your Bible says fruits in plural, that's not a very good translation. Because it says the fruit of the Spirit. It's just like one fruit, but it has multiple layers. And you have all these very much verbs right here. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Let me just define some of those for you. When the world displays hate, if you're a Christian, the fruit you'll be displaying will be love. You know, we need so much love in this world. Black Eyed Peas, right? Where's the love? Because it's like sometimes, you know, even when we're getting into a little argument, like we tend to just throw love out of the window. And it's like even how you can talk to some people, even when you disagree, with love and respect. So when the world is playing other things, you and I, as followers of Jesus, our fruit we're going to display is love. Even when you might hate my guts, I'm going to love you. Patience. There's the joy. That despite whatever's going through, you still have this joy. Not just the pursuit of happiness, but people can see the joy of your salvation. That's what David, the King David, prayed after he committed sin. He asked, Lord, create in me a clean heart, Lord. And then he says, cast me not away from your presence, but restore a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. That I'm joyous because I know who I belong to. I have this joy because I know that joy does not depend on my circumstances. I still might be going through a storm. I mean, you can go through that with joy. I mean, it's like you're displaying that one very well. Job did it. Remember Job? Even when his wife said, man, why don't you wait? Curse God and die already. And Job says, like, the Lord gave it to me. The Lord took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I mean, how many of us can say that today? And he was still joyous despite that. Paul, contenting every circumstances that he went through. Kindness, being kind to other people. You know, that's hard sometimes. Being honest with one another, to be kind to every, I mean, sometimes we want to be kind with those who are kind to us. Jesus said, if you only greet those who greet you, even pagans do that. What are you doing more than others? If you're only nice to those who are nice to you, what are you doing more than others? He says. So it's like to be able to display kindness even when somebody around here is not very kind to me. By that, you're showing them, you're giving God glory already by acting like that, by producing that fruit. Goodness, being good to the people, faithfulness. When everybody else is unfaithful, you know, I'm going to remain faithful to you, Lord. And treat everybody with gentleness and compassion. The Bible talks a lot about that. And self-control. These are the fruit followers of Jesus are to produce. Now, I read a story. There was a little, a preacher was doing some carpentry in the garage. He got the hammer, he got drills. I mean, he's doing carpentry. So one of the young boys from the church came to see the preacher. And he just like, you know, hanging around with the preacher for a little bit as he's doing the carpentry. And the preacher said, hey, you came to get some pointers to see how you were going to do that? He said, no, I just came to see what a preacher would say when he would hit the thumb with the hammer. To see what words are going to come out of your mouth. That's what I came to check. So even there, you know, people are observing you, like how you talk to other people out there. You know, how, even when somebody makes you angry that you just don't go, you know, I mean, sometimes you just wish you can just strangle some people. I mean, being honest, or punch them in the face. But so, something keeps you because you realize, you know what, Jesus will, the Lord again is testing you. And it's like the way you act, people are observing you. It's like, wow, like you were really, how you responded, that was awesome. If it would have been me, man. You know, by that, you're showing some kind of fruit. We all have a button that when somebody pushes that button too hard, you know what I'm talking about? We kind of lose it. You know, I've done it when somebody cut me off, and I'm just ready to chase that person. You know, it's like, what? And then my wife usually with me in the car, she's like, just let it go. And I realized, thank you, Lord, somebody was here today, because I just, you know, you think preachers don't lose it too? So it's like, because we're human beings, we're not infallible. We have issues too. And that's what we need. I mean, I always had to remind myself of that. Like, well, let me see what fruit am I going to be producing because people are observing you. One time I was playing baseball and I let go of a ball and I took my cap and I slammed it on the floor. And part of me wanted to just like rewind that because I realized there's kids watching me. And now it's like, that's how I act when I, you know, and it's like, so gentleness. And I felt so horrible later on. But, you know, it's like people are watching you. Like this guy came to observe the preacher. I just want to wait until you make a mistake to see what you're going to say or what words will come out of your mouth. See, people will see the type of fruit that you and I are producing as followers of Jesus. And really, you don't even have to tell somebody, I'm a Christian. They might sense something different in you. They might see something in you and it ain't Gatorade. Is it in you? It's not that. They see something in you by the way you act, by the way you behave, by the words you speak, by the love you show, you display. I mean, all those things you're producing. And God's being glorified by the fruit. Just say, you got to remain in me to be able to produce that. Apart from me, you won't be able to forgive people. Apart from me, you're not going to be able to love those who hate you. Apart from me, you're not going to be able to have peace in the midst of the storm. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. That's why you and I then need to remain in him if we want to be able to glorify him and produce that fruit that he's asking his followers to produce. You see, you and I, it's either going to be a bad fruit or a good one that we're going to be producing. But in order to produce the fruit that brings glory to God, we need to remain attached to Jesus. You see, bearing good fruit is really not complicated when you think about it. All you got to do is be attached to Christ, and he will the one develop that fruit in you. This is what I posted that on Facebook when I was finishing the sermon. This is how I concluded it. Bearing fruit, it is really a natural progression of anybody who's attached to Jesus. Bearing fruit is really a natural progression of anybody who remains in Jesus, because only those who remain in Jesus produce fruit. And by doing so, you bring God unprecedented glory. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you, because apart from me, you can do nothing. You are a true follower of Jesus. How do we know? There's some fruit that you're producing, all because you attach to him.